Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford. Well, I dream the day I wait. I
know just what to say about the days that last. These technology gains, and also the 60-stage frac versus one-stage frac. I mean, these are things that they're evolving as time goes on, bringing that price from $12 million down to $7 million per well. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. For them to be able to operate in this $42 to $46 price range and keep going, keep getting investment dollars from their investors, from the public companies that own a lot of these operators, I mean, it's amazing to think that we could be still increasing at $42 to $46 bucks, but that is from the innovation. Something I just learned after our meeting was in other countries, we're beyond on the UAS topic. Mm-hmm. They're already using UAS to reduce costs at the well pad sites in more mature fields. Just gave an example of an $800,000 savings of identifying that a pumping unit was spinning too slowly, and they went out. Sure enough, they sent an operator out to check it, and it was imminently going to break. And if it broke, that was an $800,000 problem.
So are they
this
using
is from
like,
monitoring from just a monitoring technology?
I was going to say we're into real time monitoring.
Real time monitoring,
just like they're experimenting out in the cornfields in North Dakota.
Yeah, versus having pumpers, you know, the lease operators driving around trying to hit each well mm-hmm. each day. They're monitoring with UAS.
So let's transition that into higher ed, which is how North Dakota can really enhance the energy industry through technology, because we're talking about robotics to the well, but white collar jobs being created because of this. Is that kind of what's happening here?
Right.
You know technology very well for the state. How is the university going to play into this?
Well, one thing that our higher ed system at all levels, four-year college, two-year schools, and even our high schools are under an enormous amount of pressure, because the way that knowledge is transferred today is changing. Mm-hmm. It used to be that you had to go to a physical location like a university with a library where the professors were to actually, you know, gain learning. But now you can transfer knowledge anytime, any place, on any device. And so we have to really rethink differently about how we're doing that. So that means, you know, some other countries like Germany have had great success with apprenticeships, where the universities mm-hmm. and the partners team up, and you could actually have people, you know, working on a job using the technology during the day, but also completing a degree, so that when they graduate, they're completely current. And so we have to rethink our approaches on how we think about it, because there's fewer and fewer traditional, I'm going to go to school for 4 years, graduate with a degree. We've also got nationally this huge debt. I mean, we have $1.3 trillion of student debt, and it's not clear that if the student themselves can't pay back that debt with a job they have, it's not clear that government policies that are subsidizing that education make any sense either, because if it doesn't make sense for the individual student, it doesn't make sense for us as a country to keep subsidizing college education if there's no return on it for the individual. Why would you do that? I mean, if it was a company, you'd stop investing in stuff that didn't have a return. And so we really have to think things through differently, and particularly at a time when the technology is changing so rapidly. Our education system has to be more about continuous learning, not about you get a degree and then you're done the rest mm-hmm. of your life. This is more about being able to be lifetime learners, and how can the billions of dollars we put into education in North Dakota support lifetime advancement, so that people have the skills to keep up with the industries as they're growing.
I've been hearing such an increase in the trades. Somebody said either go to 2 years or 8 years of school. That's mm-hmm. like the new trend now. It's like either become extremely specialized or learn that trade. And what you were talking about, the decrease in the four-year school, that kind of matched up with that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going to close overnight, but there is a trend there, isn't there, where their trades are picking up and the 4 years are declining a bit.
Yeah, well, there's thousands and thousands of jobs open in cybersecurity, and some
yes.
of those roles don't require a four-year college degree. But if you had a one- or two-year technical degree, you can walk out and, you know, earn $60,000, $70,000 right now. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're matching our education system with where the demand is in the country. And that means we've got to change our mindset about what a college education really means.
So let's change a mindset about quality of life, because that has to deal with jobs and location. And North Dakota has specifically decided to make a very conscious effort to try to convert some quality of life issues. Williston put in a $1.2 billion community center. Watford City, where you were the mayor of, the Rough Riders Center, as well as the new high school. Talk to me about how much you two specifically have pushed for the quality of life for jobs, because you see these jobs coming to North Dakota, and they're needed out in the oil patch. So talk to us about that.
What we found in Watford City was to have this many extra jobs available, you need to have people that want to live there. And so the man camp model was feeding the job growth. But guess what? Those people in the man camp didn't want to move their families there because they'd bring families for the weekend and say, what is there for us to do? Where do we live? What kind of mm-hmm. you know, is there a vibrant downtown area
you
that makes
drive
a community? And there just wasn't in a lot of the smaller towns in the West. We weren't really ready for 10 times more people.
Well, seriously, you have to drive 5 hours to go to a Bismarck Bobcats game.
That's right.
I mean, that was like the high, that was otherwise right. If the high school didn't have a game going on, you didn't have a lot. No, some of those towns have never had a McDonald's.
No, and we had to drive an hour from Watford just to go have a steak and a movie. You know,
so I mean, for real,
it's something where Main Street Initiative was basically Governor Burgum putting into a word to what we had to do in Watford City to make a community for that workforce development piece. Mm-hmm. Now you see 20,000 less jobs in the West, but school enrollment's increasing in Williston and Watford City. That's because of the public investment and the entrepreneurial investment in making a community there. And so the enrollment's going up, so the report card is good. The long-term people are there, the long-term employees are there.
And I just heard record births, that sort of thing is happening. You've mentioned, I think Rapid City was a model that you liked. I don't know if you said Tulsa or somebody told me Tulsa at some point. A few of the towns you've mentioned as models, they seemed like capitalistic towns. Mm-hmm. You know, like they were built by capitalism. Was that by coincidence, or did you notice that, or?
No, I mean, I think in the end, you know, the private sector is really what has to drive this. And I think that, you know, in a state like North Dakota, we're basically locked into a chronic workforce shortage mode right now. I mean, there's over 15,000 jobs open in the state. And then you say, okay, well, how do we fill those jobs? Well, fill those jobs, we have to have a net in-migration. We have to get people to move here. Mm-hmm. And the way that people are going to move here is what the kind of work that Brent was doing in Watford City and others were doing in other communities, is you've got to build a community that a young family wants to live in, and you got to build a community that someone who's 55 is willing to stay until they're 65, as opposed to blowing out of here and going to Arizona when they're 55. And so we have to, you know, retain baby boomers a little longer. We got to get young families to come in, and the way you do that is with vibrant communities, and that's the key. I mean, the key to workforce development is building those communities.
I mean, it kind of seems, I chuckle because it seems like just a normal concept, but 15 years ago we were exporting students.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, out of the state. People don't get that. We were exporting students out of the state as the norm, and now
I was in one of those meetings in Denver. The commerce department from the state was meeting with my boss and I, asking, would you ever consider putting one of your operations in North Dakota? And he laughed at him. And I thought, that would be wonderful. He laughed at him.
Oh, man.
But that was the outreach. Can we ever bring you back?
So think about how far we've come.
Yes.
You know? So, well, I appreciate it. Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, Governor Doug Burgum.
To listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
The Oilfield Report listens to the oil patch and delivers powerful interviews and stories that roughnecks, CEOs, safety compliance officers, and leaders in oil and gas trust and value. The Oilfield Report's vision is to be the oilfield's most centric online source to build a place where the oil patch can come and get informed and get heard. The Oilfield Report. Check them out online at oilfieldreport.com. That's oilfieldreport.com. Be sure to join their Facebook page, YouTube channel, and other social media outlets. Because at the Oilfield Report, interviews just don't start a conversation, they drive a conversation. Oilfieldreport.com. That's oilfieldreport.com.